It's Marketplace Tech for Friday, July 8th. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson. There have been a lot of questions this week about how and when social media sites like Facebook should and shouldn't remove user content. In Minnesota on Wednesday, a woman live streamed the aftermath of a police shooting. The video was initially removed and later restored. Around the world, in Israel, officials are drafting a new law that would allow courts to order Facebook to remove posts they say incite violence against Israelis. For more on the debate over what should stay up, what should come down, and who should decide, we've reached out to Paul Toomey. He's former CEO of the nonprofit ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. He's now commissioner at the Global Commission on Internet Governance. I asked him about the policies that tech companies should use to make these decisions.
Well, one of the things that our survey work has shown is that the method for setting rules that people most place trust in is where many parties are involved in helping to set those rules, so-called multi-stakeholder models. Now, if I'm a big online company and I've got a billion users, I've got huge power. I've got power beyond what we're used to seeing in the private sector. If it's just left at the company level for some of these things, it'll just change. It'll keep changing all the time. You know, if they actually held a process a little bit like sort of the internet community tends to do, of bringing many people together, discussing an issue through, really working through what we think the solution is, and then having that as a result, I think it would buy them a lot of credibility and clear water when these sorts of issues emerge, because they can say, well, we've gone through a process and here's the answer, as opposed to my general counsel says today the answer is X.
Right, as opposed to probably what is unlimited lawyer meetings at Facebook happening right at this moment.
You said it, I didn't.
Are there sort of organizations that could step in and help facilitate this kind of multi-stakeholder decision-making at this point?
Oh, there'd be lots of people, lots of various organizations which would do that, and there are models that can be looked at. I mean, in the core part of the internet, what I call the logic of the internet, it's coordinated by a set of bodies. One is called the Internet Engineering Task Force, which sets up a lot of the standards. One is called ICANN, which coordinates domain names and top-level domains, .coms and .nets, who gets to run those things. All of these bodies basically work along that means.
And what about, again, this issue of removing content? Any sense of where, when and where content should be pulled down?
It's a very interesting question, and it's politically, culturally driven. The United States, of course, has the First Amendment and has a very high standard on content not to be touched. Again, this idea of transparency about the rules are, and people who are operating cross borders as much as possible, some engagement in the multi-stakeholder approach, where that sort of interaction doesn't take place. The result is that the pressures emerge in various countries and suddenly governments start, ineffectively but in a disruptive way, start passing legislation. And that's not really in the interest of a single global internet.
Paul Toomey is commissioner at the Global Commission on Internet Governance. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's Silicon Tally time. Alex Barinka is a reporter for Bloomberg News. Alex, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with this week's tech news?
I am so ready.
30 soccer fields.
Is that as big as the Hyperloop?
It is, in fact, a reference to China's 500-meter aperture spherical telescope.
What are they looking for?
Extraterrestrial life, the best thing to be looking for.
That it is. Maybe Elon Musk will find some friends out there en route to Mars.
All right, what do you have for me?
$1.14 billion.
The cost it will take to really understand plant thoughts.
No. This is how much Line, the Japanese messaging company, is aiming to raise when it goes public next week.
So how is this different from other messaging apps?
They're really known for stickers and games, and you can buy things through this. So it's kind of this platform where they get all these users on there spending money and, sending hundreds of different emojis.
All right, here's your next number. 501,000 hoverboards.
So hoverboards have been setting on fire. So maybe that's the amount that's been recalled?
Yes, that is the number of hoverboards that the Consumer Product Safety Commission recalled this week. Apparently, these hoverboard incidents have cost over $2 million in property damage already.
Wow.
Have you been on one?
I have not, mostly because I don't want to end up on YouTube as one of those people who, take a lovely
splat.
Tumble. Exactly. Yeah. Splat. So no, I have not ridden a hoverboard.
All right. I'm ready.
7-Eleven.
My favorite place to stop and get a soda on the way home from work.
It's known for slushies, but it's also the date of the Microsoft Internapalooza. And you might have seen the invitation get sent out. It was posted on Twitter. It was the one that read, "Hey, Bay Interns," with a little heart. Continued to get worse from there, offering, quote, lots of dranks, D-R-A-N-K-S, and the ability to, quote, get lit on a Monday night. The company's already apologized. This is a little bit of CEO Satya Nadella trying to kind of revamp and coolify Microsoft, but perhaps they went a little too far.
Poor Microsoft. Alex Barinka is a reporter for Bloomberg News. Alex, thanks so much for playing along.
Thanks for having me.
For years, decades even, there have been visions of the future that involve robot teachers. Take this clip from a 1963 episode of The Jetsons.
Divided by the supersonic equation.
Very good, Elroy Jetson. Now 1 second while I check over your answer.
According to Smithsonian Magazine, back in the late 1950s, the idea of robot teachers was so prevalent and worry-inducing for parents, the National Education Association had to assure people that machines weren't going to take over primary instruction. And in spite of a whole lot of talk of personalized learning these days, they're still right. According to a new report by McKinsey Research, education and teaching are among the professions least likely to be automated. So no robot teachers, at least based on the tech that's out there today.
Pardon me, Klaus. I've got a short in one of my transistors.
McKinsey analysts find the least automatable jobs overall are those that involve, quote, managing and developing people. I'm Adrienne Hill. That's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.